This very, very briefly. You guys are sleeping, tired. Let's see how we can make it through this circuit. Okay. What do we have in Bava Metzia? Of Hamad Aleph. Let me take out my notes so I can step you through. Okay. See, we're in Bava Metzia of Hamad Aleph. Tashma. Okay. The Gemara now, guys, is returning us to Rav Chiya Kamaisa. This is a bit of a shift. Until now, we've been dealing with Rav Chiya Bas Raisa. Rav Chiya Bas Raisa was dealing with the halacha of Halach. Rav Chiya Kamaisa was dealing with the halacha of Tviya, Kfira, and Edim and Miktas. You owe me 100, you say no, and Edim support $50 of the claim. So the Gemara is now going to prove, or going to try to disprove, Rav Chiya's original statement based on a Braisa that states his halacha, but in the reverse, in the inverse. Again, Reb Chiya's original halacha, way back on Daf Gimel, I come and I say, you owe me 100, you say, you owe me nothing, Edom support half of my claim, you're chayv to pay for the 50, and you swear for the other 50. At this point, Tashma, the Tani Avuha, the Rebbe Apturiki, lid Reb Chiya Kamaisa. The father of Rebbe Apturiki learned this scenario, but the reverse case. What did he learn? We'll get back to it in a moment. Manali biyadcha, Yehudi owe me 100. Halo meilecha biyadi klum. Nothing. Meidim anu sheish lo chamishim zuz. Yachol yishav al hashar. You would think that Reb Chiya Kamaisa's halacha is correct and you should pay 50 and swear on 50. Talmud lomar a pasuk. Al kol aveda asher yomar ki huze. Al hodas piva tamachayvo. Via tamachayvo. Al hodas edim. So there's a braisa with a
Drasha,
a pasuk that refutes Reb Chiya's halacha. It states a scenario and it says you're not chayav shvua, and there's a pasuk. This is a direct clash, a direct confrontation with our good friend Reb Chiya. And this clash and contradiction is brought to us by none other than Rav Apturiki's father. Okay? Rav Apturiki's father. This is a really cool. Okay. Why is this interesting? First of all, no one knows when Rav Apturiki lived. We only have a few statements of his in Shas, three or four statements, many of them in Chulin. I think three or four maybe. Right, doesn't have a wiki page. Okay. So we don't know when Rav Apturiki lived. Some say he was an early Amora. Some say he was a very late Amora. But this isn't Rav Apturiki. This is Rav Apturiki's father. And him we only have quoted twice in Shas. The father of Apturiki. But there's a Ricky the father. Okay, Hebrew Ricky. And interestingly enough, in some Gersis, in the other time that this is quoted, it's not Rav Apturiki's father, it's Rav Apturiki's brother. So it's interesting to know whether it's Avuha to Rav Apturiki or Ahua to Rav Apturiki. Which is interesting why they didn't quote his name. Like, why would you not quote the father, the brother's name? Now that I don't know anyone that talks about it. Who was this unknown person? But this person makes a guest appearance, cameo appearance in Bava Metzia. You have an answer?
How do you teach the name of Yochanan if you can teach the halacha and the name of Abu Rabbi Abdullah? Rabbi Yochanan.
No, but we don't know there's a name of Rabbi Yochanan. Anyway, so this is just an interesting sidebar. Also interesting is the Gemara's response. We have a braisa quoted by the father of Rabbi Apturiki that seems to refute Rabbi Chiya. So what's the Gemara's answer? Rabbi Chiya, Tana Hupal. Rabbi Chiya is a Tana. And as a Tana, he can argue with a Braisa, even though, now, who is this statement Tanahu Upalik typically said about in Shas? Yeah. No, Rav Tanahu Upalik. Typically Rav, which is interesting because Rav was younger than Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya actually sat with Rida Nasi in his yeshiva in, where's Rida Nasi's yeshiva? In Gush? No. In Tiberia. He sat with him in Tiberia and he helped him redact the Mishnayos. So Reb Chiya, now it's an interesting conversation in Svarim. What does it mean when we say these Amorayim were Tanayim? Is it chronological / historiographical? Is it based on when they lived? Is it based on them appearing in the Mishnah? The problem is Rav never appears in a Mishnah. There's no Mishnah that ever quotes Rav. However, that may change because what was Rav's potential nickname? He was otherwise known as Rebbe Abba. Right? Shmuel calls him Abba sometimes. So Shmuel calling him Abba is a sign of respect. It was his name, Abba. So since it would be Abba in the Mishnah, that could be Rav. If that's true, then ironically that would exclude Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya never appears in the Mishnah. So if Rav is called a Tana because his name actually appears in the Mishnah, and that's the criteria for being a Tana, then Rabbi Chiya may fail those criteria. If the criteria was you appear in Brisos, the criteria was you have to redact Brisos. It's really interesting when the Gemara says this. It's typically said about Rav. Every once in a while it's said about Levi Tanahu, Upalagalei, Rosh Hashanah, which is in Dafyomi a couple of weeks ago, in the Mishnah about the shape of the shofar. But you only have, as far as I know, twice in Shas, the Gemara says is about Rabbi Chiya. So this is a really interesting Gemara about how we rank the personalities in Shas, and can they argue with Brisos. So here Rabbi Chiya, okay, which raises an interesting question. Okay, can anyone finish this SAT question? If Rabbi Chiya is a Tana, because he was involved in early Brisa redaction, then who else may be a Tana? Rabbi Oshia. But we never had the Gemara saying that about Rabbi Oshia. Maybe the Gemara never had to say it because he never said anything that conflicted with the Brisa. So it's just a lot of interesting historiographical, chronological, biographical conversations that take place in this Gemara and related Gemaras that we don't typically spend that much time on, but I just want you to be aware of it. A strange, a uncommon Tana and an imposter, not imposter, but someone, a Tana wannabe, someone who may have been a Tana. Avod Rebbe Tariki is arguing with Rebbe Chiya. Yes, Zev. Interesting. Okay. So why are we learning this? We're learning this because it's Torah and because we hold like Uchayim Balazhin, but why are we discussing this? Wait a second. Okay, it's one thing to say you're arguing on a Brisa. It's another thing you're saying you're arguing on a Pasuk. You're not a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're on your own Torah, and Rebbe Tariki, Rav Satana, is not the Bachas. How can you argue on a Pasuk? The Hakra Ka'amar. There's a Pasuk, Asher Yamar Ki Hu Zeh. And according to Rebbe Tariki's father, that tells us that you're Chayef, that you're Pater in the case of Edim and Mixas. In his original case, you're Pater. The Hakra Ka'amar. Ahahu, Lamar and Mixas Satayna. The pasuk Asher Mar Ki Uzeh, you can stand in front. Teach us the base halacha of Modem Mixas Atayna. So the pasuk, follow the cheshbon. The pasuk that Rav Abturiki's father used to tell us that Reb Chiya Kamaisa's case of Edim and Mixas is Pater, that pasuk Reb Chiya himself would say teaches us the base halacha of Modem Mixas. So let's follow the calculus here on the board, guys, just so you should know where we're heading, because it's going to be an important conclusion. What? Asher Yomar. Ki, hu, zeh. We have a pasuk. So, Rav Abturiki's father said this pasuk says, Edim b'miktsas is pater. Tafka, again, which word does he learn it from? Take a guess.
Yomar.
Excellent. You need a hodah, Edim water work. Edim b'miktsas is pater. So what would Rav Chiya say? The Chiyah says you're chayiv in the case. He would say the pasuk is for etzem chiyav moda b'mixas. Just teaches us the paradigm of moda b'mixas. And based on my kal v'chomer, matzad, I can learn that edim b'mixas. Now the Gemara throws it back to Rav Abturiki's father. So the Gemara says, the avuah to Rav Abturiki, amalacha ksifu v'ksifzeh. There are two parts of the pasuk. Asher yomar ki huzeh. There are two words of the pasuk. Chad l'moda b'mixas atayna. Chad, Ladas Aidin the Pach. Now the Gemara is updated. Okay? There really are two words. Asher Yomar Hu and Asher Yomar Zeh. It's like the word Yomar is repeated twice. Asher Yomar Zeh, Asher Yomar Hu. So, Asher Yomar, so we have two words, A and B. So A teaches us the base halacha of modem mixes being chayiv, and B teaches us that Aidin mixes is pater. So now, yes?
Saying it's who, but it's not all
of Zeh. No, I never said that. I mean, that's an interesting way to learn, but I never said that. Shem accuse Zeh. If you mold it to half, then you're chayiv on the other half for sure. Okay, that at this point, that's not the way the Gemara is learning. So now we've divided the pasuk into two, according to Rav Turiki's father, and one part of the pasuk tells us the base chayiv and modem mixas. The other pasuk excludes edim and mixas. So now we throw it back on Rav Chiya, where it says, v'idach, first word on the line, just follow the calculus. What about Reb Chiya? How's he going to learn these double psukim? Okay, we're going to have the two psukim telling us two halachas. One for the base halacha, and one to create a p'tur, but not the p'tur v'edim mixas, because this is Reb Chiya. V'idach, chad l'modim mixas atayna, v'chad l'modim min atayna. V'yas Reb Chiya, A is going to teach us the etzem hachiyav, B is going to teach us Haldah Mimin Ataina. And if I ask you for Chitim and you say I owe you 50 of Sarim, you're Pater. Haldah Mimin Ataina, Haldah She'ina Mimin Ataina is Pater. Aye, what about Avur Drive Up to Riki? How's he going to learn that Haldah She'ina Mimin Ataina is Pater if he uses B to tell us that Eden Mixus is Pater? Oh, here's where the conversation ends. Where it says, V'idach Moda Mimin Ataina, Leslie, V'sevel Ekrim Gamliel. Rav Tariki's father will hold, you don't need Hodam Min Ataina. He passing his like Rav Gamliel, Tano Chitim Hodla Basarim is Chayiv. Okay, who can tell me the calculus here? It turns out that we have a double machlokas between Rav Chia and Rav Tariki's father. Who can extract the machlokas? Turns out that what do we have? We have a machlokas between, there's going to be a brisker Eureka moment. Machlokas between Rabbi Chia and Avuha the Rav Apturiki about two halachas. What are the two halachas they argue about? No, don't give me all this. Give me the halachas. Build the matrix. Eidim b'miktzas. The original case of Rabbi Chia Kamaisa. And Oda. Let's call it Nigmar's language. Tanu chitim behodelo bisar. What is a chiyol way to mix us? You need hoda mi min hataina. And therefore, what happens? Not min hataina, right? So, chitim mi gemisar. What a chiyol way to mix us? Let me fill in the metrics. Chayiv shvua. What would he hold by Tano Chitim Adelo Bisarim?
Pater
from Meshua. What would Avodah Rav Tariki hold by Edim and Mixas?
Pater
from Meshua. What would he hold by Tano Chitim Adelo Bisarim?
Five.
So now we have Murin versus Morin. This is the most important part of today. Not the most important part, but the first and most important part of today's year. That somehow we have. Okay, one of the opening chapters of the Sefer I'll never get a chance to write. One of the Sfarim I want to write is Hafachba, Vafachba, and find nafkaminos that are inverses of one another. Amiga that's a bearer without a koach, an amiga that's a koach without a bearer, and a shomer that's mischayev without being a shomer of the puzzles. Always X and not Y, Y and not X, just to train people to see that. Okay, put it on the stack of Sfarim that I'll never write. Levi.
If the Shua would be chayev by the Sa'or, in the case, the rest of the
Sa'orin
or the rest of the Chitin?
I say over $100 of Chitin. You say, no, $50 of Sa'orin. Okay, pay 50 Sa'orin, spread the 50 of Chitin.
50 Chitin.
Okay. So now Benny's already racing. Okay, Benny's, we have to help Benny because minds that race aren't always minds that. So let's slow it down a little bit. We have to try to find different definitions of moda b'miksas, one of which will lend to Eidim Mimixas being Chayiv and Tano Chitim Hodlo Basarim being Pater, and another version which leads to Eidim Mimixas being Pater, Tano Chitim Hodlo Basarim being Chayiv.
It's all Jacob, by the way. I'm just taking credit for speaking
Arabic. Okay, it's good. Good to be plagiarist.
Tells me what to say in Seder.
Okay. Good to be a plagiarist, right? Okay. So, what would you think? Let's go back. This is a very, very important moment in Lumbus. Why is it an important moment in Lumbus? Because it takes two halachas that seem to have nothing to do with one another and looks through common language. Here, Noam, it's glaring. You see it in the Gemara. You can't avoid it. We do it in halacha when it's not glaring. Reb Chaim did it yesterday in Eretz that it's not glaring. Remember? One of my metaphors, since I like metaphors, since I like the Baal HaTanya, one of my metaphors for Lumbus is your city planner. Another metaphor for Lumbus is a Gordian knot. You take two things. I remember it was in TABC a couple years ago, and I sat to explain to them how Lumbus works. So I said, imagine you have a halacha in this corner of the room about something. And then you have halacha in this corner of the room about something. I'm going to take those two halachas and go like this. Pull them together and hold them tight. They seem to have nothing to do with one another. That Gordian knot. That's Lumbus. There's a machlokas about Eidim and Mixas. So machlokas about Tano Chitim. What can they possibly have in common? One is about Edim replacing Hodah. One is about the dynamic between the Hodah and the Taina. What do they have in common? Well, when you abstract to a higher level, you find common logic that two derivatives share. Right? What if I say, I don't know, I'm going to invite Zaria to my house for Shabbos, and I'm going to invite, I don't know, a stone table to my house. Okay, what do they share in common? I'm looking for people that can carry a lot of weight. I don't know. I find something larger that they share in common. I find something larger that they share in common. What is that, Ellie? What do you think? If I hold that Moda Mixus is such and such, then I would hold like Reb Chiya. If I hold that Moda Mixus is such and such, then I hold like Avod Reb Abtariki. What are they arguing? What was Reb Chalokas here? What do you think?
Technical question?
No, technical question? I'm teasing. Of course you can. Questions build logic.
What was it your chayav and pater by the
Shvua?
You still have to pay.
Presumably. We'll get to that in a moment. We still have to pay. Yes. You have to pay. They didn't come on 50. You have to pay 50. What do you think, Levi? If I hold that Modu Mixus is Tana Chashuva, I hold like excellent. Benny, Jacob, excellent. Levi, excellent. If I hold that it's Shaker, then
I hold like the
father of Tariki, exactly.
Why do we always drop the third one?
Because it doesn't seem to be as mainstream. Okay, we'll talk about the third one, but we'll get to it a little bit later, but it's hard. Remember when Tani told you Gilgal? It's harder. It's harder to imagine. Seems to be those. What Tosas talk about, the word Gilgal only appears in a Tosas and Ksuvas and a Tosas Rosh and Bamsi. That's it. Whereas all these concepts of Raglayim Ladavar, Taina Cheshuva, so to all of a sudden build the whole system. I'll talk about it a little bit later, but it seems like these are the two poles that we're dealing with. So it's not three, it's two, and then there's like this, the strange cousin that you only see on Thanksgiving. And pass the turkey. Who are you? Oh, you're the one from Wichita, right? Yeah, he parachuted in. Yeah, it's not the real. I was sitting at the front of the table, and they were coming shock here, trying to get you guys back to, because everything is American, right? So these are the two. It seems like this is what we have. Someone stops you on the street and says, "Is a motive mix of sechiyah of nirak and mishaker, or is it tana chashuva?" So that's machlok sechiyah and avodra. If he can follow what you just said, he's a tamuchah. Okay, you turn it on him. Okay, don't ask me. I'm going to ask you. So machlok is tanoi. Machlok is tanoi. Yeah, first of all, they were tanoi. Reb Chiya tanoi. You want to really anyone going away for Shabbos to Lamdan? Anyone going to be inside of Lamdan's house for Shabbos? No one going to Lamdan? Okay. You got to go to Lamdan's houses. Okay. One of the things I recommend, if you can, I don't know where you're going to be for Shabbos, but it's really cool, especially if you're like in, not Yishuvim, but if you're like real, no, it's like Yerushalayim, a place like that, find a local-based medrash and go there Friday night, especially during the winter Shabbos. Seriously, don't just eat, sleep, and go there. Go to the local Haredi-based medrash and just see what's happening there. You'll see like a full Seder Friday night. People are really learning. Like, remember that show we went to in the old city, the Chorva show? You walk there Friday night, the place is packed, and people sitting there learning real, real learning. So I was like, oh, the place I would go to, it's called Tara, which is in Beit Vagan, which was Alman Zeshiva, because I had my other relatives in Beit Vagan. I finished the meal, we finished whenever we finished, and I went for an hour or two. I met some interesting people. Learn Svarim. No one's going to bat an eyelash. You think they see a kippah or a guy walking in the room, they all start like conspiring in the corner. And they could care less. What? They don't even know you're in the room. It's like they're all sitting and learning. You go over the safe with an idea. They'll be happy to talk to you. All this thing that you think, oh my goodness, the Datil Mikin is in the room. Let's call out the fire brigade. Let's hang him from this. They don't think of that. I promise you. They're innocent people. They love to have a conversation with you just as much as you want a conversation with them. So again, if you go to like some yeshiva, you're not going to find a Haredi-based medrash. But in almost any major town, like go and see what's happening. It's just like, what? Yeah, interesting. You have to go there you can't. You just walk outside with a blindfold. You go to Haredi-based medrash. But I'm saying you just go. When I was in Yerushalayim in the middle of town, and then we're going to be usually in the middle of town, like hotel area, on Rehov Ramban and Eben Ezra. There's Netzach Yisrael, that's of Grisman's old yeshiva, so a lot of yeshiva people hang out there. Just like go with it, or not, or go to a Chardali place if you're should I go to Haramor. Like, just go, just don't. I went to Gush and hung out with my friends in a hotel, Shalabim, but I diversified. A little diversity. And then, they really mixed it up, brought to Torah Shraga. Come on, guys. Lake Kansas. A little more out there. Anyway, so what was I saying? Right, so go over and find someone and say, I'll show you that this question of Motiv Mixas is really a Machlokas Tanayim. Machlokas Tanayim? Between a Bechia and a Vurja. So the guy will stop you and say, wait a second, isn't your Bechia an Amara? You'll say, Bechia Tanahu Palik. So first of all, Bechia Tanahu Palik. Second of all, it sounds like this is a Machlokas. If you hold, now let's get to the Lumbus. If you hold, the purpose of Motiv Mixas is that the confession reinforces the claim of the Tovea, accredits it, certifies it. We'll dig a little bit deeper. We dug deeper into it in the past. So first of all, Chia's logic makes a lot of sense. That just like Hoda can certify a Taina, so can Eitim, or maybe even a Kal V'chomer, or at least the Mahatzad, right? The update on Daf Dalet. However, Eli, if I ask you for 100 bushels of Chintin, and you say 50 Sarin, finish the line, you haven't accredited my Taina. I asked you for chit, and you deflected to some other conversation. So if the whole axis, the whole core is my confession and credits the taina, we can swap in Adim, but there has to be some correspondence between the taina and the hodah. Hodah mina taina, taino chit, and lo basarin would be pater. Whereas if the whole chit of modern mixas is, smells fishy, your partial confession makes you look like a hemer and a whore. What do we call a hemer and a whore? There's no hemer and whore, but what's a hemer and a whore? What do we call that? Ishtamutig. So when you're hemming and hawing, you're mishtamute. When you're denying, even though Adim come on the 50, okay, you were caught on the 50, but the other 50, you flatly denied. So you're not a hemming and a hawing, you're not near a kimishaker on the other 50. But when I say, Azari, you owe me 100, and you're not, and you start to hem and haw, even though you're hemming and hawing, it's a deflective hemming and hawing, they're still hemming and hawing. You're not saying, the guy in the Adim is saying, no, I never saw you, you're crazy. Okay, the Adim caught him about 50, but he's not hemming. There's no internal flaw in his statement. His statement is flat-out rejection. But in the case of Tano Chitim Adlo Basarin, there's hemming and hawing. What do I care that the hemming and hawing isn't correspondent to the Tfiyah? I come and I say, good morning, Adir, and you start hemming and hawing. He said, hemming and hawing, right? We used to have a rule. Okay, gotta be quiet here, but just to make minyam and give minyam a good recording. Okay. Some things don't make the cut. So I come and I say, chitim, you start hemming and hawing. It doesn't make a difference what caused you to hem and haw. You hem and haw. You know? I say, good morning. You start saying, why? Oh, you sorry? You're singing like a bird. So you're singing like a bird. We give it the other part. Some guy didn't take much to turn on the switch. Okay, so that seems to be the Machlokas of the Gemara. Again, it comes out from the Psukim, but it seems to me that there's consistent logic between the two. That's probably the most important Brisker statement of today. The reason is because we do this all the time. And here the Gemara is doing it for us. So it's just showing you that Brisker Lamdas is latent. Okay, great. Here's the problem. We'll try to solve the problem very, very briefly because it's already late. Okay, Binyamin.
Even like you're not lying, or if anything, you're very late. You say the opposite.
Okay, yeah, but you don't address the chitim. You don't talk about the chitim. You just talk about sarim. So it seems like if we're trying to build, because you're definitely not accrediting the claim, but it seems like we're trying to build. Okay, fine. Now, how should I present it? Let me take a second and step back, because I wasn't able to clarify it in my mind fully. Give me a second. Okay. That's so funny.
No.
I'm sleeping on bullets.
Okay.
Unrelated.
Give a few minutes, hopefully.
Okay.
Here's the best way for this. Here's the best way for that. Okay.
So now we're dealing with the following halacha.
Tano, chitin, hoda. 100 Hoda Sa'arin,
which is 50,
Pater Mishvua.
That's the halacha of the Bechia. That's the machlokas between the Rabbanim and the Gamliel. Right? The machlokas of Rabbanim say Pater, Rabbanim Gamliel says Chayyab, Mishnah and Shuos, Warren Shuos, Bryson Shuos. Okay, that's the halacha that Rabbi Tariki and Bechia Kamaisa argue about. Okay, now. The logic we're giving, the blue is the lamas, I'm going to erase this now, this is just the calculus.
the logic is, because the chiyuv of moda b'miktsas is taina chashuva raglayim ledavar yesh b'mamish, all the languages we had in Rishonim.
And in our Lamdisha language, okay, this will be red, this is the language of Rishonim. Now, Lamdisha language, it was accrediting the taina, accrediting the gavra, based in being a little bit involved in the taina. So we had different ways. What does it mean? What does taina teshuva mean? What do these terms mean? I'm accrediting you, I'm accrediting the claim, based in accrediting the claim, someone's accrediting the claim. What does that mean? So this is the halacha. This is the type of motive and mixus the halacha seems to be based on. Taina teshuva. And these are some of the options we had to sharpen and create more nuance. How can we create more nuance in this sugya? It's a very, very, very abstract point I'm about to make. I hope you picked it up in Seder. If not, because it was only an hour of Seder, let me make the point and we'll just start analyzing it. The problem in this sugya, and a problem that becomes a welcome problem because of the solution, helps us get a little bit more precise in our reds are as follows. Listen carefully. I'm not sure if you picked it up. I'm not sure how much of the sugya you got to see. When the Rabbanan say, Tanu chitim behodelo b'sarin pater, they mean your pater, Levi, from a, said before, Shlo, and the rest of the chitim. What about the demei sarin? Are you chayiv on the demei sarin? When I say, yomi $100 of chitim, you say $50 of sarin, so you pater from the Shlo and the rest of the chitim. But you chayiv to pay the sarin?
Yes.
That's what you and I would think. But who says no? Rabba bar Avua. Rabba bar Avua in Bava Kama Lamed Hey Amid Beis says you're pater from the Sa'orin. Doesn't tell us why, but he says you're pater. So now it's a little more confusing. Rabba bar Avua says that by Tano Chitin the Hoda the Sa'orin you're pater on the Demei Sa'orin. Now we have a real problem there. And this problem is twofold. We're only going to even begin to scratch one part of the problem. Problem number one is with whom? Which Tana now is a really, really big problem? Which Tana here is on the hot seat now? Yeah. Gamliel. Because what does the Gamliel say? Tano chitim hodlo basaron, your chayave shvua on the chitim. How could you be chayiv shvua on the chitin when there's no chayiv on the sarin? How can you generate? Is it motive of a mikdash, a two-step process? I generate a monetary chayiv and then that leads somehow to a shvua chayiv? Okay, so Tosfos has two deos before you say maybe not as to whether Rabbi Gamliel even accepts Rabba. But you know what? We're going to put Rabbi Gamliel on that shelf above Boaz's head, above sleeping head. That shelf. That's our reserved shelf for things we're not talking about. Okay, see that shelf over there? We're not going to talk about it in Gamliel because in Gamliel we don't pass in Gamliel. That's as we say in Yiddish, a good Yiddish word for when you go visit the Haredi based Medrash tonight in Beit Aris. It's a halbatzara. You know what a halbatzara is? Chatzitzara. It's a half a problem. The problem exists because the Rabbanan definitely accept Rabbi Bar Avua. And here's the problem, guys. It's a sophisticated thought concept, and therefore I want you to get it. The Rabbanan say that Tano Chitim Hodalo Bisarin is Pater because the Hodah doesn't match the Taina. Hodah is not Mimina Taina. There's a disparity. But wait a second. If you're Pater from paying Sarin, you shouldn't have a Shvua, not because of the discrepancy between the Taina and the Hodah, but because the mechanics are flawed. There's no Hodah. You're not Chayiv Sarin. The ABCs of motive mixus is you're chayiv on the first part, you swear on the other part. Here, you're pater on the sarin. Once you're pater on the sarin, you can't even say the word shh. I can't even say it. No, you can't even say that word because the whole platform is flawed. I'm saying, oh my goodness, let's put on a play tonight, okay? Put on a play. Ah, the microphone doesn't work. The play's canceled. Guys, the stage is falling apart. There's no play tonight. You get up on the stage, the stage is going to fall down. So, oh my goodness, we can't have this shvua because there's a problem, a technical problem. Oh my goodness. There's a motive, a mixer set up, but we got a problem here. Because the taina doesn't match the hodah. That's your problem. That's your problem right here. You don't have a motive, a mixer. You're a motive, a sarin. You know what happens to that motive, a sarin? Wake up, guys. Nothing. It disappears. It's a thin air. There's no sarin. There's no chiyuv. How can it be motive? So don't tell me about Rabbi Gamliel on top of Boaz's head. That's not the problem right here. The problem is the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan have a... And by the way, this isn't just, okay, maybe when they said it, it was just... You know, no, how do you know that Tano Chitim Hodlo Besaron is Pata from Meshua? Eh? Eh? How do you know? It's possible. It's the Kashmir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not on Rabbanan. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to write a pasuk to tell me that Tano Chitim Hodlo Besaron is Pata from Meshua? Because of a special Xeris HaKasif, Tano Chitim Hodlo Besaron is Pata because it's not Motiv Mixus, because the Hodal Mesarim was in the Chayavi. That's a real problem. That's not a problem with Gamliel, that's a problem with Rabbanan. That's a major, major problem in the Sugya. I'm going to talk about maybe three ways to solve it. One way to solve it, which is the easy way out, is that when Rabba said that you're Pater on Dnei Sarin, he was talking about, this is Rabba Baravu and Baba Kama, Lamed Hei, Amud Beis. He was talking about 90% of the cases. There are 10% of the cases, I'm making figures up. There are 10% of the cases where you're Chayiv on Dnei Sarin. And those cases, you're Chayiv on the Sarin that you confessed to. So maybe if you're chayiv in the 50 sarim, we should start building a shvua on the other 50 of them. And the pasuk puts the kibosh on that. No. That's haldah. Ena minataina. There's no correspondence. Then we shut it down. In 90% of the cases, when I say leave our yomi hundred tikkun is 50 sarim, don't even mention the French shvua. You put on the sarim, the whole thing stops. But there are some cases where I say, you're only chitin, and you say 50 sarin, which you actually pay sarin. Huh? You pay 50 sarin, maybe swear on the other 50 chitin. The answer is, okay. You still don't swear on the other 50 chitin, because the hodah and the taina don't match up. This is how some acharonim want to answer the famous kashrut. It doesn't, we shouldn't talk about it. It's a really interesting point, we don't talk about it. So for example, what's a case where you'd pay for the sarin? Let's say I don't say, Adir, you owe me 100 of chitin, where the implication is you don't owe me sarin, and therefore you're pater in sarin. But I say, well, I think you owed my father 100 of chitin. Or I say, you owed my father 100 of chitin. I don't really know about my father's sarin account. I'm in charge of the chitin account. My brother is in charge of the sarin account. Normally, when I come in and say, where's my chitin? It's like I'm waiving the rights to the sarin. That's to make you, we'll talk about this later. Normally, Rabba's Patur on the Sarin is that since the Tovah didn't mention Sarin, fill in the blanks. We'll see later. I don't know if you got to it later. If you got to one of the Makaras, I'll explain it in a few moments. But there are cases when I ask for Chitim and my non-ask for Sarin doesn't waive my rights to Sarin, and when you're confessing to Sarin, you still pay Sarin. Normally, when I say Chitim, I didn't mention Sarin, yeah, you probably mock for Sarin. You didn't even talk about that because you know all of your accounts and all of your claims. Did you mention sarin? You're giving up the fact that you don't owe me sarin or that. But what happens where my statement about chitim and my non-statement about sarin isn't indicative that I don't want the sarin, that I'm mochel the sarin? So in that case, Rabba, look at the right, Rabba and Rabba Kama would say you pay sarin based on your confession. You pay sarin based on the confession. Maybe you should swear on the chitim. Even though you pay for sarin, we can't generate a motive mixus here because the hodah and the taina don't match. Okay, another case. Okay, where the rush says. Okay,
can you summarize?
Enough for today. It's for Elisha. Okay, I'll summarize again. Okay, let me take a step back because I went too forward. Let me take a step back. Why are you pater for sarin? When I say yomi 100 chitin, you say 50 sarin. Why are you pater? What's the logic behind Rabba? Did anyone see Rashi and tells us in Bava Kama? Why, my pater? Right. Because when I say, give me chitin, I don't mention sarim, and I know you're chayiv sarim, basically I'm being mochel the sarim. non-mentioning Sarin is being mochel all rights to Sarin. And that's why you're pater from Sarin, even though you confess to Sarin Azariah, because your hodah is overrided by my mechil. When I'm mochel to Sarin, I say, you know what, even if you're chayiv Sarin, you're pater. So 90% of the cases, where I say chit and I'll mention Sarin, you're pater and Sarin. But there could be some cases where my not mentioning chitin doesn't mean implicit mechila on the sarin. Where I'm not supposed to know about the sarin because I'm just a kid. I only know about the chitin. Or as the Rosh says in Bava Kama, the only time that my non-mention of sarin implies mechila on sarin is when I specify on a certain date you took chitin from me. That was our one loan. I'm very, very specific that this is all of my inclusive claims. And I'm not mentioning Sa'orin, that makes it sound like I don't think you owe me Sa'orin. But what if I'm just being very casual? I'm coming in and saying, Eli, you owe me chitin. I don't say when and where, and this is the sum total of my claims. Okay, it's just today. I ask for chitin. Tomorrow I'll ask for Sa'orin. It doesn't have the implication that I'm being mochel Sa'orin. When I come in and say, okay, we had a transaction, we had one transaction, it happened June 15th at 2 o'clock in Riverdale, and you took my chitin. What's the implication? You didn't take my sarin. I'm being mochel sarin. But when I'm not being so specific, I'm not tagging, I'm just saying, oh, hi, Leif, I haven't seen you in a couple months. You have my sarin? You have my chitin? So the fact that I didn't mention sarin, I'm being mochel sarin, it's just right now. It's Erev Pesach. I say, hey, Leif, I need to make some matzah. You have my chitin? I mean, I'm not asking for sorin. It just means right now, I'm asking for the chitin. That's what the Rosh says in Bava Kama. We can't assume that every time you say chitin, you're being mochel sorin. If I come and I'm very pedantic and I say, oh, remember we had that once a year sell-off and you took my chitin, now you owe me chitin, and so I'm not mentioning sorin, I'm probably mochel sorin. But if I'm not being so precise and so cumulative and so comprehensive, I'm like, hey, you got my chitin. Tomorrow, get the sarin. You know, it's not nice. You know, you all of a sudden ask for anybody. It's very grubby. So you're not being mochel on the sarin. So there's a whole category, the 10%, in which my not asking for sarin doesn't waive sarin. And your hold on sarin, therefore, is mechayiv you in sarin. Ha, 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 ha. You're chayiv $50 of sarin. Maybe there should be a motive amidst us. Only 50 of chitin. Answer, kazada is not mimena taina. So we need a pasuk, because even though most of the cases of tano chitin modulo basarin, you can't even start talking about motive amidst us. There are some cases in which you can start talking, but you never get to a shvua because the hoda doesn't meet the claim. That's one approach. Okay, if you take that approach, we end shir now. Anyone? Take that approach. There's absolutely no chiddush. Namely, in order to finish the pasuk, in order to even talk about a motive of mixed shvua, you need to have a ha me cha yes. You need to have a hodah that obligates money. Then you can start talking about all this. But all this doesn't apply because of a technical problem in the end. Namely, to get into this world, Eli Novik, you have to have a hodah that's mechayiv you money. That's the only way you could start creating Tana Chashiva Yesh Ba'am Shaglayim Adavar. But it turns out that look at my hands, if the Taina and the hodah don't match, then the hodah doesn't. You have a hodah mechayeves, so you have something that could accredit, but it doesn't match the claim, therefore, you can. But if you didn't have this, you can even talk about the mismatch. Dam is the mismatch, but you need to have the two ingredients. If you don't have Adam Mechayevas, then you can't even talk about the mismatch problem. Option number two that we're going to talk about today. Let's see how many we get. Option number two is the Ktzos. The Ktzos says in Siman Pechas that. What?
The other one's a Rosh?
No, the other one is a Chorim. It's not done any. The Rosh is one case where you're Chayiv and Sarin. The Chorim say that case of the Rosh is what the Pasuk's talking about. That case and other cases of the Rosh. Okay. The Ktzos says that when I say, Noam, you're Chayiv 100 Chitim, and Noam says, I owe you Sarim, and Noam's Pater and Sarim, Rabbah? Yeah, you're Pater and Beis Din. But you're chayiv bidei shemayim to pay sarin. Okay, well, you someone who's awake. Okay, nita. You owe me $100. Noam's in Shemayim right now. He's high B'day Shemayim. He's trying to put himself B'day Shemayim to get to the Ksos. Okay, but we'll stay in Oz. Nitai, Yomi $100 of Chitim. You say 50 of Sarin, your Pater and Sarin. Basin won't collect the Sarin. But does your Hodah have teeth? Yes. This is important, guys. Nitai's Hodah on Sarin. Basin doesn't enforce that Hodah. But Nitai now has to pay out that $50 of Sarin B'day Shemayim. So the da has teeth. But what teeth does it not have? Basin teeth. So what do you see from this ksus? That the mechanism of taina chashuva, so this is really abstract, that happens to fail here because of the mismatch between taina and hoda. But the mechanism to get started, the mechanism is built not on the impact of hoda in based in, rather the impact of the taina or the person. That motive and mixas is not streamed through based in. Because the Ketzelis is saying that you can have a, okay guys, imagine. Let's go from Thanksgiving to 4th of July, okay? We're all out in our back with our American flags because there's only one country that we celebrate. And we're near our fire pits and we're making a barbecue and your father says, hey, Yoni Bench, fire up the barbecue. Yoni Bench goes out and says, how am I gonna get all this wood to light? So you need some igniter. So you have to go get some fire igniter. Okay? There's a motive and mixus igniter. What's a motive and mixus igniter? We call that a hoda. In order to ignite motive, it may not light. It may go out after 10 minutes, because the hoda does not mean menataina, but you need to ignite it. What ignites it? A hoda. But the Hoda doesn't have to ignite it in. It can ignite it through non-based. Something else. I don't know what it is, but what part am I eliminating according to the Ketzelis? Which option am I eliminating here? Based. In the end, the fire is going to go out because the claims don't match. So you're not going to have, whatever you're going to define Taina Chashuva, it's not going to work. But we're starting to look in the DNA of what motive mixes is. This is a really subtle sugya. It's a delicious sugya. Because in the end, it's not going to work. But we're trying to understand motive mixes based on why would you even think that it was working? Like, what were you thinking? Really, really very deep lumbus. In the end, it's not going to work. This Taina Chashuva is not going to work. But what is the dynamic that's not going to work? We need an igniter to say it's not going to work. The fire's going to go out, Yoni, but you got to get it started for it to go out. If it doesn't even start, your father's going to say, oh, yeah, you're a failure. You have therapy for 20 years or whatever. But if it gets started, okay, the fire went out, we'll go to the neighbors. Except, so this fire's going to go out, but in order for it to go out, it's got to be ignited. And what does it take to ignite Mudder and Mixus? This is a deep dive into the lumbus of Mudder and Mixus. And according to the Ksos, it takes a Hoda that has some impact. Not based on impact, but impact. So, evidently, the following statement, according to the Ksos, is wrong. The following statement, that motive and mixus means that claims that had based in certification now trigger Binyamin Shvua, sounds a little bit like Gilgul. That's not what motive mixus is according to the Ksos, because the motive mixus igniter, it could be a non-day. It's so beautiful. Like, well, once you just think slowly, clearly, you know, it's there. You just find it, you place it, you know, just take it and slow it down and process it and drink it in. It's just, it makes so much sense. Tonight, someone asks you, well, everyone knows that motor mixes is a based in rollo. No, going to the Ksos, it can't be. Because Hodas Sa'orin can start motor mixes. Okay, it fails because the Hodas doesn't match the Taina. But if we're all about based in, how could the Hodas Sa'orin, that's Mechayiv Latisitei Shemayim, even start the motor mixes that will fail because of the mismatch? Yes, Levi.
We talk by the pasuk saying that it fails in this case teaches you that you need based in.
Excellent.
And this
excellent.
Teaches you that you need to do.
Beautiful, Levi. Beautiful. Stunningly beautiful. That's what you did with the masses. I don't want to say it in here today. It's the whole reverse angle of the sukkah. It makes all the problems go away. That we learn about mutter mixus from this pasuk. Look at the Shiti Mukubasis. Fantastic. But Marie Katz here. Okay? But I'm getting sure basically the other side of town. I'm on the other side of town right now. But very, very, very good. And what you're doing is he's solving the problem with the problem, making the problem. Oh, it's a pasuk. That's the point of the pasuk. The pasuk is teaching us Levi Aser right now is very, 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 very deep, but let's stick to the other side of town. Okay? Okay. Getting to this side of town. Okay? Option number three. Okay? Option number three. Well, we'll stick with three. We're not going to go to four. Option number three is, okay, the Hodah is not Mechayiv. But who cares? You don't need a Hodah that's Mechayiv you. All you need is a
Hodah.
The igniter for Moda and Mixus doesn't have to be a Chiyiv. The claim accreditor doesn't have to be because your claim netted you some money. I come and I claim, oh, you're Mechitin! And your response doesn't give me anything other than the following. You're not looking meanly at me. You're looking kindly. You're looking, very arrogant, you're a nice guy. I like you. You're making eyes at me. You're smiling. You're raising your eye. You're looking at me in a nice way. The fact that you, now I'm going to say, I'm going to start to unpeel this. You may not have accredited my taina because nothing that you said is mechayiv you money. But I am now a person that you didn't readily dismiss by saying, go fly a kite. Moda b'miksus means anyone who is not kofar bakol. Kofar bakol means I look you in the eyes, eyeball to eyeball, and I say, Noah Hill, go disappear into Denver. Like, I just, where'd you come from? Why are you even talking to me like that? Why? Like, you don't exist. I'm a kofar. You don't exist. I'm chasar, so I'm not a kofar, but I gotta express my wild oats. I'll be kofar you. Okay, I'm a mom and a Kurdish mom. I'm kofar. You don't exist. Okay? No, it doesn't exist. Okay? You're not a person as far as I'm concerned that I have to deal with. Anytime I start to accredit you as a person, even though that doesn't obligate me, not bidei shemayim, not bidei adam, that creates the igniter for motive and mixus. That creates the process of accrediting you. But it fails because the titles don't match. Anyone have a problem with what I just said? If I'm accrediting, then who cares about the titles? This is where it starts to get dicey. Okay, I'll say it in the most abstract language and I'll say it in precise language. If you're abstracting Moda B'miksas to justify why a Hodah that's not Mechayiv your money can trigger Moda B'miksas, then it's so abstract that anything can ignite it, even Hodah that's not Mechayiv money, because someone is not Mechayiv money, then you may abstract it so much that the discrepancy between the Taina should no longer bother you. This is the Brisker curse, where you have to make two things work. And you make one thing work so well that the other thing starts to not work so well. What are we talking about here? What is the motive of a mixus? You're not chayiv and tzaren, huh? Yeah, but who cares? I was moded to you, and I looked at you like a nice guy. So motive and mixus. Oh, yeah? That's all it takes to ignite motive and mixus? So then who cares whether I asked you for chitin and you said tzaren, or I asked for chitin and you said me, Ritarigan, I love you, or I asked for chitin and you said, Ritarigan, you're the best rabbi. I don't, as long as you said something nice to me. What do I get the time as I meet the Hodah? This is thread the needle time. We have to find a way to define motive mixes. This is real lundus, guys. It's not kiddie pool lundus. It's easy to get up and say, Chakira here, Chakira there. This is real. You take two issues and you got to find a way to thread them. Issue number one. What's the basis of motive mixes here? Where the Hodah Sa'arin isn't Mechayiv. Define motive and mixus in a way that doesn't need Hodah Mechayevis. Not be the other, not be the Shemayim. Answer number one, 10%, fine. Answer number two, the Ktsos. But answer number three, you don't need Hodah Mechayevis, and you still have motive and mixus. Give me a general view of motive and mixus. Okay. I'll give you a general view. Nira Kimishakir, it's so general that you hold like a Megamlia. You won't have a problem at all. You'd be Chayev Hodah Shalom in a time. I have to find a way to say that motive and mixus is Taina accreditors. And somehow, Hodah that doesn't have teeth at all accredits the Taina, until the mismatch tells me that I'm not really crediting the time. I'll answer your question or hear your articulation. I don't care what your answer is. I care that you understand the challenge. In that box, you solve this subject. You have to find a formulation. That could be 13 different formulations. You have to find a formulation that says that motive and mixus works in a way that is general enough to allow a hodash and a mechayevus, but still requires overlap between taina and tefiah. If your Haredi friend tonight in the yeshiva can answer that, can't even understand your question, forget about answering it. Let's tell him to come to Grush next week. Some good lumpas. Because he's holding. That's considered holding. This sugya forces you into that corner. You don't like Excels. You don't like. Now, part of the sugya that we're not discussing today, because it's already 10:19, we answered Ellie's question, is we still left one side of the sugya unexamined. That is, why are you putter and selling? Remember we said, according to Rashi, it's mechila, but there are other reasons. Like, what's the status of my confession about selling? And why do I not pay? That will help me define what the hodah is and how much igniter fuel I have. That's the igniter fuel, my hodah. My hodah is the igniter fuel of motive and mixus. What do I have? When I say, Niter, how many hodahs are you? I say, 50 sarin. It's like, you didn't say anything? That would be very hard to have igniter fuel if you didn't say anything. You said something in your pater, you said something in your chayiv, but after being chayiv, your pater. So I'm not going to confuse you, but there are three shitos as to why Rabba said you're pater from the Mesari. So whatever answer we give here, let's think about why you're pater. We just worked with one logic, pater from the chila. So it's really a multi-dimensional sugya. We're not going to get enough time to prepare. But let me again repeat, and then, or Ellie, let me first answer your question, then I'll summarize.
I like the answer, though. How you could
do it. So thought, what's your answer?
It's like maybe because you wouldn't be
Then you're not really smiling.
Because, you wouldn't have the moda on even the Torah if you weren't in the time of the
Pita. So that makes it more chai. We're trying to make it more pater here. Since the Hodah Sarim doesn't match the Taina Schit, then there's no moda that makes us. Trying to tell me, I want to know why the lack of overlap between the Taina and the Hodah causes the breakdown in motive mixes. You're telling me.
No, but because it's not the same thing that's by time motive mixes. This was to the Torah motive mixes.
Right, so what is motive mixes and why do you not have it by the overlap? In order to have motive mixes, I need. What's the machinery of motive mixes and why does it fail by Enami Minataina? Do you understand the question? Okay, let's summarize, okay? There are two parts of the sugya. Part A, part B. Part A is easy peasy. Part B is Japanese. Not easy Spanish, it's Japanese, okay? The easy part of the sugya. We have a 2x2 matrix, double machlokas. This is like standard. I don't get paid for that. This is just a regular Brisker Lumbus between Reb Chia and Abtariki's father. Reb Chia said, "You're chayiv and edim and mixas, v'chia kamaisa, and you're pater by hodah she'ena miminatayna." Reb Abtariki's father said, "You're pater by edim and mixas, but you're chayiv like Reb Gamliel by hodah she'ena miminatayna." How do we make that Yiddish word? Get ready for tonight. Shtim. Okay, come into the bed and say, "I have a hal b'tzara. Can anyone help me?" Shtim. How do we make it align? How do we make it resolved? How do we make it shtim, resolve? So, the way we make it shtim is, the way we resolve it is, that evidently Reb Chia Kamaisa, as we said 2 weeks ago, viewed Shua's mother makes us somewhere in this space. That's why Eidim and Mixas can replace Hodab and Mixas. He first thought it was a Kal Vachomer. In the end, it ended up being a Matzad. Remember the language of the Gemara, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph? Matzad, Sheyesh, Taina Bekvira. Right, so, and Tosos reinterpreted that to mean Taina Chashuba, Taina Sheyesh Berg, Lion the Dover, so it's somewhere here. So, on the one hand, you can have Hodah, you can have Eidim, who cares, they're all accreditors. But, Eli Novak, you need some overlap between the time and the tefillah, because if you're talking about chitim, I'm not accrediting your chitim claim if I say so. And in the end of the day, you need there to be some degree of overlap. Okay. Avod Rebbe Tariqi said, no, I'm a Nera Kamashakra guy. I live on the coast. I like eating fish. And for me, Shavuah is all about fishiness. When you're hemming and hawing, it looks fishy. What do I care whether you're hemming and hawing about chitim, hemming and hawing about tzara? It looks fishy. But by Edom, you're not hemming and hawing, and you're pata from a Shavuah. By Edom, it makes us. So that double machlokus, that helps us better understand. Put that in your mind. If part B is a little bit confusing, separate the two. Part A should be clear, obvious in the Gemara. You want to change the language a little bit, but this is classic lambdas. Association, tzushtel, between two totally different topics. Topic number one, Edom and Mitzvahs. Topic number two, Hadashim and Minataina. The Gemara puts them together. It's not just the psukim calculus, it's the logical integrity. That if you say this, you'll say this. If you say that, you'll say this. Okay, now we have a problem in the sugya. The problem in the sugya is, how could the conversation even begin? Oh, overlap, discrepancy, ruins the shvuah. You don't even have the igniter fuel. The igniter fuel of Moda B'Mixas is a Hodah. And Rabbah, on Baba Kama, Lamed Hei, told us that you're Pater and Sarin. If you're Pater and Sarin, you don't have a Hodah. You don't have a Hodah. There's no stage here. There's no igniter fuel. There's no Moda B'Mixas. There's no Moda B'Mixas because the Taina and the Kfir and the Hodah don't overlap. No, there's no Moda B'Mixas. There's no Hodah. It's not even Moda B'Mixas. It's Kofar Pakol. When I say Chitin, you say Sarin. You said nothing. He said, you're Pater. And he said, Kofar Pakol. So we discuss and share three answers. Answer number one is, aside from Levi's answer, it's a whole different view of the sugya. Answer number one is that there's 10% of the cases where you're chayiv in tzara. In those 10% of the cases where your non-litigation about tzara doesn't imply waiving your rights to tzara, you're chayiv for tzara. There is a motor mixes framework, you're chayiv $50 of tzara. Maybe you should take a shvur for the 50 of chitin that you deny. Answer is discrepancy, offset between the taina and the odah, no shvur. Answer number two is the Ketzel's answer. Ketzel says, you may not be Chayiv Sa'arin in Basin. Chayiv Sa'arin B'dei Shemayim. And Hodah that generates a Chayiv B'dei Shemayim can theoretically generate a Shavuah on the rest. That's a golden statement. Shavuah is not a Basin-centric process. Shavuah is a person-centric process, a Basin supervisor, a Basin polices. But Basin isn't generating the Shavuah. Basin is just watching, traffic cupping the Shavuah. And therefore, a hodah that makes you chayiv in shamayim to me, Eli, can also make you chayiv in shvuah to me. What do you mean? Basin isn't going to be interested in your chayiv day shamayim of the 50th zone? Yeah, but you are chayiv to me, a moral debt of a bidei shamayim 50 zone. You are also chayiv to me 50 shvuah on the rest of the chita. God, once you chayiv, Basin will say take the shvuah. But it's not something that Basin cooks up. Shvuah isn't Basin making a good omelet for me. Shavuah is you, me, Taina's responsibilities. Basin will, of course, enforce your responsibilities to me. The third answer, which is what I discuss, is can we have our cake and eat it? Can we say that the Odav Sa'arin doesn't make you Chayev Bidei Adam, doesn't make you Chayev Bidei Shemayim, nothing, not a nunka, nothing. But still, you're a Moda to me. And since you're a Moda to me, then we have a shell, we have a framework, we have a scaffold of Moda B'Mixas, which in the end fails because there's really no overlap between the two. What version of Moda B'Mixas would say on the one hand that you don't need Hodah Mechayeves, you just need Hodah, but you still need the Hodah to match the Taina. You don't need the Hodah to have teeth, but the Hodah has to correspond to the Taina. That's the box that I leave for you. That's the conundrum. That's what you have to solve. Articulate a version of Moda B'Mixas in which the Hodah doesn't need to have teeth, but it still has to stack up with the Taina. Okay, something about this, not this. If Hodah is accrediting you, okay, it doesn't need teeth, but why do I need the Taina to match the two? But if Hodah is within the Taina, so on the one hand, the Hodah may not have to have teeth, it still accredits the Taina. On the other hand, it has to match the, it has to be overlapping with the Taina. Hodah is coming not to accredit you as a person, it's coming to accredit the Taina. So it's got to be some overlap. It's got to be chitin and chitin, not chitin and zar. Or else there's no Taina credit. But I can accredit your Taina, not just by conceding to half of the claim but for payment, but just by saying, you know, that makes sense to me, you know. Yeah, I didn't show you, I didn't kick you out the door. To do that, we have to take a really, really, really deep, deep scuba dive into what tainas are and what rejection of tainas are. This is, now we're starting to go to like that subterranean level of the ocean, you know, where you think it's like a little crack in the bottom of the floor and you get your little scuba gear into the middle, and you see kind of this really, really dark expanse that's uncharted. Now we're going to go a little deeper. When I'm being molded in a way that's not mechayiv me any money, what am I really doing to your taina? Okay, we have to stop here. Okay? Sunday we'll have Chazara, and we'll have Mekaros for Hanukkah Shir. We'll have Shir Mitzvah at the end of Seder. Monday, I think we'll dedicate to Chazara for Halach. We'll do a Chazara for Halach because we reach the end of the Sugya. So Dalit to Rafay. What? Yeah, we'll do a Chazara day, and then I'll give you a quick Shir in the end of the Sugya. And Tuesday and Wednesday are the Yimayim. Okay? Anyone have questions about Hanukkah? Buying menorah is pretty easy. Getting any store. Okay? Don't forget, buy a menorah. Pretty cheap. You get them in any, get them in Rami Levi, you get them in Makolet. Okay, all you need is those little, you know, little aluminum menorahs. Okay, here's an interesting point, just as you know, I'll talk about it on Sunday. But there are two shittos, one to light. Most of Am Yisrael is known like the Beis Yosef, they light at Seis HaKochavim. Briskers tend to be makbid on the shittos of Rambam to light at Shkia. But you should only light at Shkia if you want to, okay? If you have oil that's capable of lasting about an hour and a half after you light. Because you can't be machmir in a way that will lead to a kula. Okay, because if you hold that the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch is right, it has to last a half an hour after tzeis. So lighting a shkia would mean an hour and a half of oil, which most of these little oil canisters, you know, these little things that you buy have them. But if you're going to light candles, I would not light a shkia. Okay, if you light candles, obviously you should be never, ever, 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 ever lighting those little candles, those little box candles that come. It barely make it half an hour. If you like candles, you'd be lighting either thick candles or large candles. So that for the rest of your life. Wait, what?
Tea.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just saying those candles that they send them in, or those boxes of candles that you get, you know, especially once they're next to each other, the combined heat, they just melt for like 10 minutes. You light and they're gone. So it was a nice part of American Jewish culture to send out these box candles. I don't know if you still get them, but it's stuck. This organization, they always send you a box of candles to light. And especially for people that didn't really know the halacha, though it came in the mail, it was very, very easy. But if you ever light candles, get those really, really cool candles and you're fine. Shabbos night, seriously, this is another. Since everyone's lighting Shkia Friday night, everyone likes Shkia, so we'll talk about that next week. But you should be buying tea lights because those are the best. Those light 2-3 hours. You shouldn't be using tall candles. I try not to use oil on Shabbos because they don't always take that long because sometimes the wicks go out. The best idea for Shabbos is tea lights. Tea lights basically can be pretty certain they're going to light for 2-3 hours and make it from Shkia over 6. Yes, Benny.
I was going to ask, so the oil, we had enough oil for one day, so why 8 days of Hanukkah?
That's an interesting question.
You have enough oil for one day.
You know, maybe I'll give you a share on it, and I'll instead of going through all 100 answers, I'll give you 3 or 4 categories of answers. Like, this is one approach. That is, no, it's like categorized. There's one approach, this is another approach. Maybe we'll talk about it. Okay. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Tell me if you find